Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Let's go.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Bingetown TV. We are back with our Yellow Jackets coverage of season 2, episode 1, the premiere on Showtime. They dropped this episode on a Friday streaming, and then it'll air again tonight on Showtime, which is a crazy thing to do by Showtime. I love it. So we're recording this on Sunday. If my voice sounds a little scratchy, it's because I was at a bachelorette all weekend where me and one of the girls took an hour to watch Yellow Jackets. Separately, we had a bunch of people watching with us, even though they had never seen the show, which kind of made me, you know, seize up a little bit, but that's okay.
What an episode, what an episode for them to see too.
I know. But before we jump in the Yellow Jackets, really quickly, smash that subscribe button so you can get updates on all the episodes we drop. If you are watching season 2, episode 1 of Yellow Jackets, and you have questions, we just happened to cover season 1 on the pod, and you can listen to that, and we deep dive it in 5 different episodes, you know, refresh your mind a little bit, because there's a lot of stuff that happened, and it's really nice that we just covered it, because we are so fresh and so ready to do this episode. It's called Friends, Romans, and Countrymen. We come back 2 months later in 1996, where we left season 1. And then in current day, no time has passed at all, really, maybe a day or two. So I'm so excited to talk. It is me, it is Luke, it is Dave and Brian, the same squad. I'm going to throw it to them to talk about how they felt.
Buzz, buzz, buzz. A rook no more. I am feeling good to be completely caught up. Premiere of season 2. I couldn't be more excited for this show. If you did listen to our coverage, all 4 of us are literally buzzing about this show. We think very highly of it. And a lot happened this episode, so no complaints as far as just a season premiere. I think they got right back into it, and we get to see adult Lottie, which is great.
Dude, it's great to be back, by the way. Just absolutely adore this show. Been eagerly waiting for this drop for weeks. I think like every weekend we went out, me and Luke would be in like our Ubers going out and be like, so is Yellow Jackets coming out soon or what, you know? So finally we get here. I really think they upped the weirdness in like from season 1, which I didn't even think was possible, but I'm all in for it because I think it was an incredible episode. Just so much weirdness, just the Yellow Jackets like unique vibe is just, it went hard this episode and I fucking loved it.
Yeah, nothing crazy I'm going to say now. It was awesome. This pretty much met all my expectations, and I actually checked earlier today and this is the second highest rated episode on IMDb behind only the finale of season 1, and it's tied with the episode 9 of season 1. So it's tied for the second highest ever. I'm pretty sure I'm having internet issues here looking on my phone for Yellow Jackets season 2, but I think it originally premiered at 100% Rotten Tomatoes. I think it's at like 94% now, which it usually is pretty steady by this point. So I think everybody's going to love this. I think this is when it's going to become a little bit more mainstream. And if I can just say one thing about spoilers for this episode that I'm so ecstatic about, is that we get Jackie back and then we're going to have her for the foreseeable future. And I'm so fucking hyped.
Yeah, we had guessed that if she came back, it would obviously just be some sort of hallucination or flashback or kind of ghost type figure. So this is good. And you know, I'm going to have to say it. Weird wig for Jackie. I'm the wig connoisseur on this pod. Alice in the Magicians, you know, Jackie in this. The wig is crazy. I don't know if she like chopped all of her hair off or something. Either way, love to have her back, Ella. We love you. Go listen to our Arcane coverage.
100%.
That stuff is some of the most interesting that I'm excited to dive into for sure.
Interesting is one word for it.
Yeah, right.
And I'm super happy that this is going to be a major Lottie season. We all saw that coming, but I'm ready for it because she is going to be a very interesting
major
character.
Lottie.
Major Lottie. <That was good. laughs> Cuts.
All right. Are you ready to just dive right in?
We're just like Laura Lee in her flashback, dive right in. Head
dive
first.
Right in.
Crack her skull. Or bleed in the pool.
Or Mari in the pit.
Well, ooh. We are going to start in the year of our Lord, 1996, as we do. We kick off with this song called 17, which is very apt. You know, the premise that used to be 17. These girls are thrusted into adulthood, of course, now that they've been in the wilderness for maybe 4 or 5 months, we could assume at this point. We open. It's like kind of this like nice song, snowy, wintry cabin. We get some flashes of all the people in the cabin. Van and Ty are tied together. We get a quick flash, but we'll talk about it down the road. And really, Nat and Travis are headed out for the hunt. Lottie gives them some sort of dirt mark. She sages them. She gives them a blood cocktail and sends them on their way. And then draws a little symbol. So we're starting off strong.
Yeah, I guess they just accept Lottie's magicness and they're just going along with it because better not to go against the grain. That weird scene.
Yeah, especially coming from Travis and Natalie, who to me in the future especially seem like the least likely candidates of, you know, accepting Lottie. So it was interesting that we get them two right off the bat of kind of following Lottie's craziness a little bit.
And I want them to dive so into the forest rituals and all of this. And that's what we're going to do. Even the recap ends with Lottie saying, and let darkness set us free. So I know that's going to be like a huge theme. And that's what I'm craving because, and I hope they continue to toe the line of, is it real? Is it not? And then it keeps the audience guessing. And then we'll get to a point where we'll get a hard answer of if the forest spirit matters at all. But it was weird seeing Nat just drink the blood.
I also want to say Nat and Lottie were kind of button heads all episode. This is the first instance of that because Nat's like, honestly, why are we doing this? It hasn't worked. Like, we haven't found anything. And Lottie, of course, she has an answer. Well, you keep coming back alive, right? And she's like, well, I guess, Lottie.
I'm not drinking Lottie's blood.
No,
I am not
am I.
Drinking that.
Neither am I.
But this is just going to yeet us straight into 1998 really quick. We'll do this little section of the episode, which was crazy. And Brian, how much is this like giving you the wilds, what we needed so much?
Very much so, yeah.
Yeah, what we were missing from the Wild season 3, 4, 5, 6, whenever they were going to give it to us. Really, really missing that. But seeing
what about
the girls.
Manifest, though? Isn't that Manifest like?
Yeah, but none of us have like really seen
that one's a little different. That one's a little different because they just show up and are like, what's up? No, they didn't even know they went missing.
Right.
Yeah.
It was a blink of an eye.
I love that you're bringing back Manifest, though. That was a great pilot. Listen to our pitch town on Manifest.
Absolutely. But yeah, we're seeing the girls post extraction, cameras, paparazzi. And I think which was interesting. Something I caught in the second watch via closed captions is that they were found 600 miles north of the designated flight path, which is crazy. Okay. Like the plane was probably not going the right way the whole time. To be 600 miles north is really wild. I know that's going to come back at some point into play. Like that's probably why it took so long to find them. They're like, why would they have been all the way there?
Or did they travel 600 miles north?
To put it in perspective, from Philadelphia, I think, to Orlando is 1,000 miles.
Damn.
So, yeah. Being off by a little over half of that. So,
wow. That's like Canada.
Yeah. Because
Weren't they going to Washington? Am I misremembering that?
I think they are in Canada. Like, if I had to guess, the cabin is probably somewhere in the fucking wilderness of Canada.
Yeah.
They were going to Washington.
Yeah.
Yeah. It probably would be Canada then. So I wonder if like this mysterious power that we've been hinting at in season one is what like drew them to that location.
The thing Canadian. I noticed right away was we got confirmation here that Van survived it. If you saw, like, she was in the little.
Was she?
Yeah.
I did not notice Van.
Yeah.
Was there any other noteworthy people? Just
who we know.
Was Ty there?
Yeah.
We did see Ty.
Thaisa, mm-hmm. Misty, Van, Shauna. We didn't see Crystal.
Okay.
We'll get there. We'll
get a fucking pause and
hold the brakes.
I knew that was going to stir the pot a little bit.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, man. No, I can't wait to get there. But before we get there, so quick scene of Lottie. Still the same song happening, right? Lottie hasn't said a word since she's been home. We know that Lottie has like super rich parents, and kind of absentee parents, maybe, seemingly. And she's wandering around the house at weird hours. So they take her to a doctor where they start electroshock therapy, which is so crazy for 1998. Like, you would think that seems like 40 years ago type thing, not a now.
Agreed.
Thing.
Well, technically, agreed. 30. Well, I guess it's a little over 20 years. So it's not like too far off, but yeah, but it is. But it is wild that they immediately went to the shock therapy as the resort. And that kind of explains why Lottie's probably a little crazy in the head as an adult. So,
well, the dad certainly seemed intolerant of anything crazy and would probably just be like, send her to the institution. Yeah. And then there's that scene where she kind of like comforts the other patient while she's like trying to self-harm herself. And that comes back into play with Travis later.
She sees the same hallways that she saw when she got dunked by Laura Lee. That with the candles in the hallway, it seems like they're underground somewhere, maybe a basement or some sort. She sees that during the electroshock therapy as well, which is just something to note because obviously, I mean, Lottie, something's happening with Lottie. She's making everyone see things. So, you know, we'll get to it. I'm sure it's going to be a gigantic thing this season. But yeah, the psych ward roommate thing, but it almost seems like she was like, they can help you like they helped me. So I was wondering if she was like actually believing in what they did for her, or if that was just like a mislead or something, because the way she was talking to the patient made it seem like she wasn't like pissed to be there.
It might have been like a mislead to like just be kind of comforting to all the other patients so she could build this following kind of. Maybe she wasn't planning to build the following, I think, but in her mind she just genuinely like, this is the kind of like the Javi situation again, where she gives that false hope of Javi a little bit. Like, she's giving this person false hope, like, oh yeah, like I'm cured because I went through all this. So I think it's more so just comfort and just a way to weasel her way into being like the unanimous top dog, I guess.
But is it malicious or is
no,
it
I would
just
say it's malicious. No, I would say it's just her bidding, kind of. I don't think it's malicious.
I don't think anything Lottie does is malicious. She truly
I'm fucking bringing it up right now then, since you said it. I'm just going to put this theory out there that what if Thaisa's ghost demon thing is the bad guy and Lottie's ghost demon thing or whatever's possessing Lottie is like the good guy? Because technically Lottie has helped them survive. You know, she summoned the bear. She's been feeding them. Jackie was just an unfortunate victim to her not being one with the forest or whatever, like everyone else was there. So I was just thinking like maybe Lottie is actually the good one here, even though we've kind of portrayed her to be a villain a little bit.
So then follow up, is the guy in Jackie's vision that is like the forest cabin, potentially the cabin daddy, and you know, the vision when she's dying.
Yeah, of course.
That guy, the good or bad in your theory?
I still don't know. I really don't know. Okay. But I just think Lottie could potentially be like, we're just perceiving her incorrectly. Maybe she has been the reason they have survived so long. So we'll see.
We're workshopping it. I like it, Dave. We'll workshop.
Almost killing Travis seemed pretty gung-ho evil to me.
Yeah.
But, you know, leaving it at that.
That was like only one, though. That's like just one instance. I mean, it's a pretty bad instance.
It was a big one.
Yeah, it's a big instance. But, I mean, I'm thinking of like Thaisa, you know, summoning her election with the dog and everything, like that's pretty fucked up too. So
yeah, her last quote of season one was "Let the darkness overcome us" or some shit like that. I'm not getting good vibes from her. Although you were right about Yefe, so who am I to say?
And Hefe's stock continues to rise.
We'll get there.
We will get there. All right. So now we're back in 1996, and we're seeing Jackie and Shauna talking to her, and then they're cutting to her being cold and dead, and dead ass Jackie, as Mari put, one of the few funny things and good things she's ever said.
Oh, Mari.
But let's just talk about the whole bit of Shauna and Jackie all the way through. What are your thoughts, besides us being really pumped that Jackie's actress can be back in the show?
For the first like 5 seconds, I was like, what at what point did this conversation take place? Because if Jackie's alive, then, you know, this must be a flashback. But then they're talking about how she's going to like end up with Jeff. And so I'm like, when did this happen? And then when we see the lifeless body, I'm like, this is fucking messed up. And Shauna is going through it right now, unfortunately. Yeah. But I thought it was so, I did not expect that. I thought that was really messed up that she's just been preserving Jackie's body in like the meat locker and just talking to it. It's so weird.
Well, I think that's a group decision, and it kind of comes into play because she eats her fucking ear later. So I think that Jackie is totally going to be the first person that they all eat collectively. 100%. But my one thing that I took away from this, besides the fact that I was just so ecstatic that she was back, was there was a moment when they're talking about the origins of Shauna and Jackie, and Jackie gives Shauna new information that she didn't previously have, talking about what I actually said right before that conversation with Jeff was I didn't want to have sex with him, so I wanted to break up with him, something like that. I don't know if that's just like a weird little writing moment or if there is truly like this presence of Jackie being that ghost, which connects back to the, you know, that plane of existence when you die in the in-between. Like, is she capable of actually giving information, or is this just all in Shauna's head? That's my question.
So I think it's all in Shauna's head. Specifically, you're saying Shauna didn't know the detail that Jeff and Jackie's fight was about. Oh, Jeff didn't know if he could be with someone who didn't want to have sex with him like right away, and Shauna was like, oh, I didn't know it was about that, and Jackie was like, but you did know. Okay. Jackie, I don't think in this instance, they might do the whole spiritual plane thing later, but I think in this instance Jackie is incapable of saying anything Shauna didn't already know. So okay. It was kind of like a device to make her confront that truth.
Gotcha.
That she did know exactly what she was doing. She kissed first. She was just being a bad friend. Which brings up the larger thing. What a horrible episode for Shauna, both young and old. I told you guys in the group chat how upon another, probably my fourth rewatch at this point, I was like, wow, Shauna's kind of not the best. Oh my gosh, adult Shauna, I cannot wait to rip her to shreds.
I still love adult Shauna. Young Shauna is just really going through it.
Really?
I mean... That baby is chomping on the ear. That's all I got to say. The baby is being fed. The baby's being fed. Anyway, so yeah, they're like arguing about something. She pushes her over. The ear fucking falls off. She pockets that shit. And that's out of control. As soon as she pocketed it, I was like, that's the first cannibalistic thing. That's be eaten for sure. Just, I was like, she's going to eat it.
So I want to shift over to what happens directly on screen after this, which Dave already hinted at, is we just have a hard introduction to 3+ new girls that I'm sure we're all going to have strong opinions about different aspects of this, but this new girl, Crystal, who's like the Hummer singer, whatever.
So dead.
That is almost awful writing to me at this point, because that is such an obvious and outgoing personality trait for her to have had zero impact. Ugh. Ugh,
yeah,
that's the weakest part of this whole entire episode, but we knew that going in that this was going to be baggage.
I feel like the only way they addressed it was like the three randos were tabled off and were snootily like, ooh, I wonder what they're talking about. Yeah. Almost to suggest they've been standoffish towards the larger group the whole time. But I completely agree. That's a literal audio cue. If she's constantly singing and humming, like that would just be happening. She would have pissed someone else. Yeah, it's that's dumb. Like I can't say.
It's like enough. 5 seconds of screen time they could have just added to like each episode legitimately, just like her singing and then people being like, shut the fuck up. And like, that's it. Like, that's all you need to address with them being their little corner.
Ad writing aside, I am beyond excited to meet more of the girls on the Yellow Jackets. So, you know, Just make sure they're good characters, that they're going to add something to the story.
I just think they're all dead.
I totally agree. I was so icked by the singing piece of it. Normally that's something I would love, and I was just like, this feels like fan fiction. Like, who wrote this? Yeah. That's insane. But we'll again, I think we'll get to it a little later with the Misty stuff with Crystal, but
couldn't find their names, by the way, besides Crystal. I tried looking, couldn't find them yet.
Interesting.
Wild that we didn't even get a name.
Might not even last that long.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think that IMDb and stuff may not be updating. Did you check and see if Jackie was on the IMDb for this season, Ella?
So one thing I wanted to say about that is she got a guest star credit. She was not part of the main cast. So that gets a little weird.
Interesting. So my only thing was Alex was like, I'm so bummed. I don't understand why they didn't put a next week on, which I know you guys hate trailers and stuff, but like they didn't have a next week on. But I said, oh, it's probably because it doesn't actually air until Sunday. You know, they're not going to release the next week on without the episode technically airing.
You didn't get the next episode preview?
That was I think that was like the season two trailer is what you saw. That's because I think I saw what you were talking about B-times. Like it just kind of played into what seemed like the trailer. Like a
well,
lot
you know
of
me,
happens.
I turned it off immediately anyway. Yeah. But I saw that it was queuing up, so that makes sense. I watched.
Yeah. So I think maybe
you would
like some of those details about names and stuff, they're trying to maybe keep tight to the chest.
Good,
whatever.
Love it.
I don't know. Maybe I'm giving them more credit. Who's to say? But we get some of our OGs. We got Ty and Van playing some paper football. They're really bored, you know, obviously. But they quickly talk about how getting tied up is not great. Ty is more concerned than Van is. I think Van is really wanting to be there for Ty, and Ty's realizing, like, this is not good for you. You should just ditch me, kind of sentiment. And Van's not having it. Van's a ride or die. That's our girl. I'm so excited if she survives. Wink, wink. To see what their dynamic will be, you know, elsewhere. So I'm very excited to see how their relationship moves forward. But another good conversation with the group is kind of the first group conversation. And the only funny thing about Mari is being like, what are we going to do about this? Like, it's been 2 months. That's the 2 month reveal. And, you know, this is when we meet all the new characters, but it's a good point. And there is going to have to be, this is the number one thing I wanted to say is, Jackie's being eaten first. I thought it was Ben, but Luke said it already. It's definitely Jackie. My question is it going to be a Last of Us situation where someone kind of makes an executive decision to just cook up the body without telling anybody and feed it to them? Or is it going to be a group decision?
It's got to be Lottie's decision.
We did see this episode that Shauna is responsible for cutting off the rations. So one day she could just be like, oh, here's the rations.
Yeah, this is.
She was already trying it out for herself at the end of this episode.
Yeah.
She had it raw too. She didn't even cook that ear.
Shauna's wild. No further comment.
Yeah, I agree. So Shauna does come in with the meat, which Alex had said, like, I for 1 second thought it was going to be Jackie meat, which is fucking insane. I was thinking, is it still the bear? Do you think it's still the bear?
It's possible. I mean, 2 months, eating. Depends how many there are.
It's a pretty big fucking bear, too. And if you like ration it out really small and you keep it in that meat freezer outside, like, I'm sure it probably is still the bear.
Yeah. But anyway, so as we move forward, Nat and Travis, they're out looking for Javi. You learn that they've been waking up at the crack ass of dawn to go search perimeters and go as far as they possibly can. I thought it was strictly hunting, but it's actually they're looking for Javi. Obviously, Travis is losing it a little bit. He's like really concerned. And Nat's like, there's no way in her brain, but she doesn't know how to get it across to Travis. But they're extending the search perimeter. And all I could think about was, wow, if they're walking miles and miles and miles every day, how are they not just like decrepit people? Like they're not going to be able to sustain putting that much effort and exhaust. There's not enough calories in their body that they're ingesting to do that so much.
But they do. It is justified. It wasn't until we see the map, but it is justified because if it was all centered around finding Javi, it's like, bro, he's dead, which 100% is not dead because Lottie said he's not. So he's not. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like he's got to be alive. Oh.
Well, he's dead now in present day because he was Adam. But in the 90s, he's very much alive because he has to survive to become Adam.
I think Lottie's word is law at this point. So if she says Javi's alive, Javi's fucking alive.
She says paper over plastic. Yeah, POP. Paper,
that's law.
People are just dealing with their traumas in just like horrible ways. Like Shauna just talking to a dead Jackie. Travis making Natalie hike with him miles every day to look for Javi. It's just not healthy.
I don't know how I feel about Natalie. Let's go back to Nat.
Wait. No, you're kidding.
No.
Really?
I'm saying the name. Like Nat.
Oh, Luke, 100%. When he said Natalie, I was like, he's really trying something new here. We did 10 episodes of him not saying Natalie once, and now he's saying Natalie.
Bringing it out, yeah.
Throwing me off. Let's go back to Nat.
Season two, trying new things.
Luke, I thought you meant young Nat. You don't know how you feel about her. I'm like, what?
Oh no, she had a great episode.
One last thing. What did I want to say? Oh, about Javi. There's no way that he died off screen.
Right.
they wouldn't waste it that way. They're either going to find him like really fucked up somehow, like still dead, but like in a weird culty, like wacky way, or he's going to be alive. Like there's just no way that he's going to die and it not be like an insane impact to the show.
I fell for it. Honestly, I thought he did see Javi. Like when he runs over to the body, I really thought it was Javi. Like, and I was a little pissed because I was like, fuck, we just got the off-screen Jackie death that just happened in the last episode, but just a fox, thankfully.
I mean, it's probably just a wax figure or something, but they did technically have the actor in this episode, right? So it's kind of interesting. We're probably going to see him again because his face was on screen. Who knows if they just like had the wax face made to put in the snow? Who knows? But that's a budget thing, you know?
Did they show his face? I thought it was just like a messed up. Oh, interesting. Okay, cool. Yeah. I like that.
And it was his face for 1 second, and then it turned to that like scary little fox.
I'm pretty sure his
actor was on like has an Instagram picture of it. So like, that's fine. Even if he did get brought back just for that scene, like it justified of why. Because I already knew going into this season that his actor was going to make an appearance. I didn't know if he was going to be alive or not, but that could be it. Like it literally could be done. But I doubt it. Lottie said he's alive.
Yeah, and with all the creepy stuff, like anything could just be a hallucination in this universe, you know, as we've seen. Quickly moving forward, first mention of our girl, Misty. Love to see her. People are mad. Everyone's still mad. It's been 2 months, but they're like, go get the fucking water, you loser. Go. Mm-hmm. And then she has this little moment with Crystal. Let's just skip over the singing part for 1 second. And she's like, shut the fuck up. You know, which was great. But then she gets a twinkle in her eye thinking, oh, Crystal wants to be my friend, which is all Misty wants in the world.
Yep.
But that could be good because they seem like the outsiders of the group at this point. But I don't know. It's not in Misty's character to reject someone because she's always getting bullied. So I think that makes a lot of sense. But this is like the whole first night, right? Like we're kind of talk through a couple of these things. Yeah, because I want to go back to Nat showing up and giving the map to Coach Ben, because that's just badass. Like, that's what you should be doing. That's priority number one if you're not actually all leaving together. And it's just cool that she's like helping to draw out the maps. She's getting better at it. They have a huge area mapped out. I think they said 7 miles each way.
It's like a 6 mile, six or seven mile radius. Yeah.
Yep.
That's so 12
miles in any direction.
Yeah.
That's pretty useful information. And it seems like that's actually making progress. Makes sense for over 2 months time period. But yeah, like Coach Ben with the facial hair, like doing it for me, like let's get it. Mm-hmm. And I'm excited. I just, every second with Coach Ben matters because he's not making it out of the season. Mm-hmm. That's my hard plant.
Yeah. I buy into that actually. That's sad though.
Young Nat and Coach Ben have just a great relationship. It's just so heartwarming because like he was genuinely like really proud of her and like impressed with like, damn, like these maps are like getting really good. And she's like, yeah, I know. And then she's opening up about, you know, Travis and having this heart to heart. So I just like him being the rock for Natalie.
Ben Scott, what a guy. Okay, next is this panic attack scene with Travis. And obviously he's going through it as well. Nat leaves in for a kiss. He's not even there. He seems like he's just like astral projecting, honestly. But he says, I know you don't think Javi's alive. And she's like, it's been 2 months. It's fucking freezing. And this is when he starts having the panic attack. Lottie gives him the little like chest jolt. He has the visions and then pops a huge boner.
What was that about?
I think it just goes into the whole sexualification of like whatever was happening when they were trying to eat him that night. Like it's just all that, I guess. I don't know.
For me, it reminded me of in season one when Lottie kept saying she's not for him. And they were like, we know, we get it. He's with Nat. And she's like, it's not for her either. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? So Lottie believes Travis has a bigger purpose. I don't know what the fuck it is, but I feel that there is some sort of like connection between the two, whether it's Lottie's embodying the weird curse and the weirdness of the wilderness, or if it's specifically Lottie, but there's something happening betwixt the two. And there's like an adrenaline rush probably, and just like a lot of blood rushed.
That might've been it, honestly, is the adrenaline, because I mean, she calmed him down. I mean, he was freaking out and I think he was just, like she put him in a place of like calm, like warmth, it seemed like. And so it just popped the boner and like all that adrenaline just went somewhere.
Is there a world where we think this forest spirit through Lottie, like her misconstruing whatever she thinks is going on, wants to like bang Travis and get pregnant in some spiritual sexual way? Like, is that a thing maybe?
Yeah. Yeah. And no, what's funny is the little cult member who was dealing with Nat in the present time looked an awful lot like Lottie's adult actor. Is that just me?
Ooh.
Saying no, that chick could have been Lottie's daughter.
Lottie and Travis's then.
Wow.
Perhaps, maybe. Which, yeah, just going along with that theory.
She did look a lot like her. Because when she walked in the door, I honestly thought it was supposed to be Lottie. And she's like, who the fuck are you? And so like, okay, not Lottie.
I'm just spitballing, but I was going along that same vein as you were just proposing that Lottie might be trying to get pregnant. And it's not that Travis has a bigger role to play. It's that Travis's dong has a bigger role to play.
Well, hold on, because that could also play into present day Lottie's last quote saying like, something from Travis needs to be told to you, Nat, basically. Like, what
if that could fucking
wait, remind me, Luke, what is that?
The literal like last quote is she says, I don't know if I wrote it down.
Wait, in this episode or in season?
Yeah, there's a message from Travis that you need to hear or something like that.
Yeah.
What if it is all centered around this?
And then that will have to go back to the notes, tell Nat she was right. Maybe like there's like a conflict this season where Nat thinks Travis and Lottie are trying to bang, and like it could be something related to that. I don't know. We're extrapolating a lot here, but that's just something.
I love it. Yeah. I was not thinking of that at all. So I'm buying in.
I'm buying some stock in that shit.
But we'll get there when we get to the old Nat scenes. We can kind of dig in a little bit more. Damn, I really like that. I was thinking about that. It's cool.
Tell Nat she was right. We got to find out what that meant. So.
Yeah, but they have this little fight, Lottie and Nat, because Lottie's giving him quote unquote false hope. And then Lottie kind of spits a fire line being like, there is no false hope. There's only hope. And I'm like, honestly, yeah, true facts. But it is really stupid to let Travis think that Javi's alive, even though he probably is. But if it was a normal wilderness trip, he's dead.
I thought you were going to say Nat was spitting the wicked hot fire because Lottie was like, what do you want me to say? And Nat's like, I want you to say less.
Say less,
Lottie, you crazy nutcase. My God, take a hike. He literally had a panic attack at the first mention. That was probably the first time Nat ever tried to broach reality with him. And he went into a full on panic attack. I mean, I understand Travis is in a delicate spot, but like, Lottie giving him false hope, which we all know is real hope because everything Lottie says is correct. But like, Nat, you're right. Nat, no. Great episode for Nat, both old and young.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Nat, old Nat was really doing it for me with her acting. It was great.
Yeah.
But besides Shauna ending the episode by popping that ear as a little snack, the last thing we have to talk about in 1996 is the Ty and Van scene. And Dave, I really like, we got to workshop it, but I like the thing where whatever's in Ty is the evil thing, just because I didn't like this. I didn't like watching Ty be like lights on, no one's home, making out with Van. It was freaking me out. And I mean, it ties back to the whole theme of their relationship in this episode. It's just like, is this okay? Is this going to be okay? I'm not sure.
This is like stuff out of the horror genre, her just being possessed. Like,
yeah.
She was full on demon when she was biting that lip. That is terrifying. Van, I really like how our girl Van is like being supportive like that, but she's got to be careful. She can't be so kind of looking past it so casually because she can get hurt. She's already had her face torn off by wolves and she was giving that as credit to Thaisa. Like, you shot a wolf for me, bitch. She was up in a tree when that wolf was tearing off your face. Do you remember that? Thing. She stole your protection necklace. Remember that?
So that's a good segue. I'm going to continually call Thaisa's alter ego just Lady in the Tree because that's what Sammy called her. We kind of said it a bunch last podcast. So, or last season's coverage. But yeah, that stuff's the most so interesting to me because I have absolutely no idea where it's going to go. But all I will say is Lady in the Tree is catching a body this season. She's killing somebody
for sure
directly.
Ooh. Are you saying old Ty or young Ty?
No, I'm saying young Ty, like in 1996, is killing somebody.
So I think that like there is a quick scene that we skip that Ty looks at Shauna and she's like, you good? And Shauna's like, yeah. And Ty's like, I don't think so.
These are the but, two least good girls in the group, like trying to have each other's back. Yo, you good? But you remember, like, I got to be a demon at 12 o'clock, like sharp. So you better have your shit together when I do. Yeah. Girl.
Exactly. Exactly. But if it's true that she catches a body, like Luke said, I think that Shauna's going to have to be the one to either cover it up, like convince people that X. it's fine, they end up eating that body or whatever. I buy into that too. I'm really buying into everything you guys are saying. I really love it. I'm so glad Yellow Jackets is back.
Oh, you just said Ty's gonna kill someone and Shauna's gonna have to be there to say we should eat that body. Not just cover it up, just to be like, hey, that body, we got some forks.
Yeah. And I'm like, I love these two.
It's amazing. It's such a great train wreck.
And only Van and Shauna know right now, right? That's confirmed about her alter ego.
Yeah. Well, Lottie saw her, right? Like when she was shoveling mud, right. Didn't Lottie see her?
But I don't think
she hasn't addressed it yet, which is weird.
She asked her and she's like, I don't have time for weird, Lottie. Like that was before though.
Yeah, I don't think Lottie has made the connection quite yet. She might, agreed. But I don't think
Lottie's in tune enough with whatever's going on to have at least registered that. It's very interesting. I feel like that whole trifecta, because Lottie has influence over Van as well. The three of them are going to come to a head at some point this season.
Yeah.
Well, if Lottie was the only reason we're saying Lottie isn't like thinking about it is because it was right when Lottie started seeing things and Ty was like, no, dude, beat it. So if she didn't see her again in her like now more confident stage, yeah. I don't know that she would do it. But Van's probably going to mention it to Lottie to be like, something's wrong. We need help. If it escalates with Ty, Van's definitely going to escalate it to Lottie to be like, help. 100%. We need that some juice. Yeah. Yeah. We need 100%. Something. But yeah, that's 1996. Anything else we want to talk about before we jump into current day?
Yeah, let's go through it again because I love 1996. Kick us from the top.
Start from the top. All right. Current
day. Oh, you know what? Van did say I love you to Ty and they exchanged I love you. So that's kind of big. And we had a more tastefully done sex scene between the two. They were able to not be nude.
That's true. Good.
They listened to the pod.
I just don't know what their dynamic is going to be in the present day. It's going to be so interesting if like when Thaisa and Van meet back up again, like is there going to be a re-spark of love again now that Simone is kind of like out of the picture a little bit?
She's single.
I also still am on board for Shauna and Thaisa. So that's
me
that's,
too.
Yeah.
I fully
how does that work without killing Hefe?
It doesn't, but we can dream.
I fully expect Van to show up in Lottie's cult somewhere.
Yeah.
Van in purple. Put her on the board.
Yeah.
What was that scene as we're leaving 1996 that Nat and Travis see the moss? Was that just because it wasn't covered?
Oh, yeah.
Forgot about that.
I think it was just implying that like that spot was just like warm. Like it just, there was no snow on it, right? Like I think there was, honestly, I thought it was like the spot that maybe Javi was just like chilling at for like months and months. Like something was protecting him. And like then he moved, but that's a stretch, but I just took it as like something mystical about that tree stump because there was no snow really on it or around the roots.
I totally agree.
Conjecture, but I was because in Travis's vision during his panic attack, he sees
that tree
with like candles in it. It almost looked like the same stump that Lottie put the bear heart in. Like I'm wondering if there's like a network of these trees that run through whatever magic system is at play here. I can't go any deeper than that, but like I feel like maybe a tree connection,
because there were, because in Travis's little panic attack when he sees the tree, like there are candles around the tree,
like an altar,
and like that translates directly into what we saw with there being no snow around it. So maybe it was just like some perfect little niche of like safe haven spot for Javi. Maybe
we theorize about everything. We can let that one go. We don't have
I just don't know how that's going to tie into Travis. Like now that Travis is seeing visions, it's like, dude, Travis is going to be so important, I think, like coming up, especially with his death in the present. He's got a big role to fill this season.
I agree and I do hope we get flashbacks of old Travis as well before, like without, you know, I hope, just hope we get that. Okay,
world that he's actually alive.
No.
Travis, no.
No.
They saw him hanging there.
Yeah. Just thought I'd ask that, see if
he was just hanging.
He was just hanging.
He was just hanging. All right, let's get to the 2020s, shall we? Because these girls, none of them are doing well. All of them are in utter shambles. I guess the first person that we see in the 2020 timeline is adult Lottie addressing her cold. And it's kind of like along the same vein of what we've been talking about. My takeaway from her spiel was like, embrace your primal inner self. Like, don't let anyone tell you to deny it. Like, our innermost desires are what we should be promoting and enabling. And that's kind of, I guess, her ideology.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I'm just pissed because I know Alki's not going to listen to this podcast, but he was right. And I'm so upset about it because we talked about at the finale episode whether we thought Lottie was going to build her following in the woods or if her following was going to come from being returned home. And so it seems like now that the answer to that question is that she came back, decided, like, went through all that treatment and then decided to, you know, help the people in treatment with her and then slowly just amassed a following of people. And then now they all follow her as that cult.
Mm-hmm.
So I was pissed. Yeah. I don't think there's going to be any people in the woods now.
Exactly. That's why.
That's what I wanted to bring it up.
Well, right. I feel like you're pretty definitive on this. She amassed her following in the mental institution, which I don't think we can be 100% sure of that. And also the carving was confirmed there before we landed. So like, we have to get some sort of closure about why the mark was an established thing in the woods before the crash.
Yeah.
So there has to be some sort of, quote unquote, cult presence in our 90s timeline in the woods.
I hope so, man.
I hope so. I just,
and also Hobby has to be with someone. So
yeah, I guess. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's true.
So many Hobby and Purple.
Like, if you think about it though, like every time we've seen anyone in modern day that's cult, like it's mental hospital, like even the people that stole Nat at the end of the season, like the person came in with a band around his head because you could tell he was like a concussion victim, or you know what I mean, like he had a head injury, trauma injury.
Interesting. Yeah. I haven't been like noticing these things. They're, I guess, all, you guys are right.
Yeah, they're all gonna be a result of
it's
that.
Yeah, I mean, it's still, there could definitely still be a presence in the woods, but as of right now, that's how I took it, is that she came back and built her following using her mental health issues.
Fair enough.
I mean, we're gonna have to talk about it again when we get to the naked man being buried alive, so we'll get there. But yeah, let's start quickly with just Shauna and Misty. I knew exactly it was going to be Misty right away because of, like, so funny, classic Yellow Jackets. Like, Misty is killing me here with the fucking cake that said, "I want my lawyer." Fucking hilarious. And Misty seemed a little weird to me this episode, just because I guess it has, like, Natalie and Ty are dicking her calls and it's tweaking her out, I guess. Because when she's like crying in the bed later, in Nat's bed, being like, "Babies cry." I'm like, where'd that come from?
She's used that line in the past in season one.
Really?
Her younger self, I'm pretty sure, says it like, "Misty, don't cry, like babies cry."
Oh, okay. All right. Maybe, I don't know. I mean, I still fucking love her, but let's go back to this. Misty's just walking her through and Misty thinks they missed something. She's just really thinking through every possible thing just to make sure they're in the clear. And meanwhile, Shauna is promising she got rid of everything when she absolutely did not. Like, Shauna and Jeff are the most clumsy criminals on planet Earth.
Awful.
Terrible.
You took too long to answer that one. And then you were like, oh, and then you took too quick to answer that one. It's just... It was seeing her back after, I mean, it's only been a few weeks, but I had a huge smile on my face just seeing old Misty again.
What made me know that she was still going to be great this season, she tells Shauna as they're leaving, "Be sure to take some Hawaii 5-0 punch with you on the way out. It's just regular Hawaiian punch, but I gave it a snazzier name."
See,
the Misty, you are absolute lightning in a bottle.
Yes.
But the moment Misty offers me a drink, I'm saying, fuck no. With your history of poisoning and drugging people, there's no fucking way I'm taking any sip of that Hawaii 5-0.
Sounding like Mari.
Also, Shauna's quick line, I don't have it written, but she's like, "That's just like a telltale sign of people who aren't coming," or whatever that line is. It was like such a funny, witty Shauna line. Like,
they're an hour late, which is actually exactly on time for people who aren't going to show up. Something like that. So that was witty by Shauna.
Are we going to get through Misty stuff or Shauna stuff here? Because Misty doesn't have much. We could just rip the last, like, she only has two more scenes.
Totally. That's how I have it. Yeah.
Okay, because so, I wanted to bring something up specifically. She ends up going and investigating why Nat was missing and dicking her calls. She also has the moment where she checks the subreddit of her detective squad to figure out that people are onto this Adam thing, and that's going to be important because she might have to. I don't know if you guys know, but Elijah Wood is in this season, who is plays Frodo from Lord of the Rings. He could be that detective maybe, and she tracks him down or something. I'm kind of thinking that could be where we're going.
That makes sense.
Yeah, that would be a fun way to get them involved, because I also hope they hook up, because that'd just be awesome for squad.
Them, Christina Ricci and Elijah Wood to hook up with one another.
But when she is doing the investigation at the motel that Nat was staying at, the manager's the man, by the way, for just trying to like fight.
Fantastic.
Back. Yeah, he's like, if you stayed here, no, you freaking didn't. All of that to say that I think when Misty ends up going to the room and finding the remnants of the cult stealing Nat, I'm almost 100% convinced that she is not working with Lottie like I was fearing at the end of last podcast season. And that is completely great for me and my love for Misty as a character. And I think she is truly like just a crazy weirdo, but she is team Nat and Shauna and Thaisa over team Lottie and possibly Van.
I think it was big that Nat and Misty had like a big kind of a, Nat apologized and actually meant it was the last time we saw these two together. So now Misty would have much more of a motivation to want to find her and figure out what happened to her and make sure that she's safe. Wow. Can't wait till Misty finds out what happened to Nat. That's going to be amazing.
Agreed. Anything else on Misty? Because we can quickly go through Ty. Ty's is really quick as well.
Let's do it.
Okay. So Ty adopts a dog named Steve.
Great dog.
So
name.
Funny. I love when she's just like Steve at the end. It's like, no, that's so crazy. But quickly, this vet lady is kind of gassing her up, phone banged for her, believed in her, and really believed in what she, her tenants, right? And then cut to the next scene, and the campaign manager's like, we can't give them anything. We can't even give them half of what we promised. And I'm like, Ty is whatever. So this scene with Ty, Sammy, and Simone. I mean, first I was like, Simone, chill. And then I was like, well, it was probably yesterday.
She was in her right. Yeah.
It was probably yesterday she found the dog.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Simone, it's not helpful for Sammy, for Simone to sprint up and tackle Sammy and be like, don't get away from her now. And then, but I mean, Simone's saying she's going to go to the press and everything. So this is like a liability and I'm kind of scared for her.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I'm just confused. So the Thaisa got Steve because their first dog was missing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Okay. And so she's, I guess, trying to make it up to Sammy. God, what's the child?
Sammy.
Oh, Sammy. I thought I was getting it confused with The Last of Us for a second. Mm. But yeah, so that makes sense then because of why she was surprised to see everything at the end of the episode, I guess. So,
and that brings the question now, was what was the deal with that wicked smile at the end of last season? Because we assumed that the lady in the tree could have potentially been taking over in the waking hours. Now I feel like that's not true because Thaisa 100% did not know what was going on with Simone in this episode. And when she goes to the sacrificial altar. So that is two completely separate entities within her. And if Lady in the Tree is gaining power in some way, like to have done the sacrificial altar to help her become the senator, like there's a lot going on there. And I don't really know because like where are we at with this? Because she like recognized the altar. She's like, fuck, I did it again. But she didn't know.
I was getting weird vibes from Thaisa every time she was on screen. I couldn't tell if she was being possessed at that moment in time. Like I felt like she was being short and rude with the woman at the vet center that was like gassing her up. She was like dismissive and whatever. Same with the Simone thing. While she didn't seem to know what Simone was referencing, it could have just been the demon knowing what he had done and being like, no way Simone knows exactly what's going on. Why is she freaking out? I thought I was like in the clear. I just thought Thaisa was on weird vibes and I was getting demon vibes.
I think there's a way bigger contrast between Lady in the Tree and a normal person. Like, I think she's incapable of like speech and she just starts biting Van's face and making her bleed. Like, I think she is like when she's Lady in the Tree, I don't think there's any of these political mind games that she can do, but I could be wrong. That's just where I assumed all of the season one scenes led me to believe. Like, she's eating dirt and shit and like biting Van and like, you know, killing and sacrificing dogs. I think that's a huge jump to assume she can like blend in, but that's just where I'm at.
I feel like they're trying to tell us that the demon has political aspirations because we're connecting the dots that the sacrifice was to help her win the election. And two, the smirk was 100% demon. And that smirk came after she won the election. So demon wants Thaisa to be a politician.
Because Lottie told her to? Maybe.
Probably.
Yeah. My only thing is, I don't know if maybe I'm just hallucinating this, but I just feel like personally Thaisa as like old Thaisa, her eyes were they red. Always so red? Yeah,
red.
Okay, I thought I was going crazy because like the sunlight when she was talking to Simone, they were like really red, and when she's like driving the car, they were really red. I was on your page, B. Toms, that I couldn't tell if that was like her just being possessed the whole time, and like the red eyes and the changing of the colors of the eyes is what kind of gives it away on which like who is who. But I'm glad I wasn't crazy because they looked really red.
Well, did you guys pick up on that too, Kathleen and B-Tom?
I didn't pick up on it, no. But she's probably just hasn't slept at all. Like,
no, 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 no.
No, like her eye color looked red. I was thinking it the whole time, but I feel like that was... The actress has brown eyes. I think it was just light brown eyes in the sun really looked like a vibrant orange. I don't think they were trying... That would be so obvious
for them
to just give red eyes.
No, because in season one, I had all of these thoughts. I never brought it up because no one else did. But every time we were in modern day Thaisa, I thought she had red eyes in season one. I'm saying I remember this constantly, and I just thought it was just like a thing that we didn't talk about.
I guess it might have just been the lighting B-Toms for me, because again, she was in the car and the sunlight was like piercing through the windshield. And so maybe that's what I was seeing. Because I didn't notice it at all.
I'm telling you, this is season one stuff too. Like, it's just her. Yeah, go ahead.
I noticed it the most this episode that I ever have. That's why we're talking about it now for the first time. But it's something to keep in our heads going forward.
Yeah.
I will absolutely, because I didn't notice that. Maybe this actress just has crazy eyeballs.
You were too busy looking for wigs.
Always looking for a wig. I'm steady looking at their hairline. I go from the eyes up.
So, I mean, with Thaisa, she finally sees the sacrificial table in the basement. Is there anything else there? Or that's kind of where it is. She hugs Steve and says, I'm going to do better with you. And I'm just thinking, yikes. Oh, you just gave the demon more ammo.
Yeah.
And I'm also I'm also thinking Steve's just looking at this fucking headless dog on the counter because he was looking right at the table, like probably like, damn, I'm in the wrong house.
Steve is just another offering for this demon for sure. Poor Steve.
I hope not. I like Steve.
Love that guy. He's going to be my MVP of the app. Okay. Let's do Shauna so we can end on Nat, just because I feel like Nat is like where the season's going, you know. Oh,
yeah.
More.
Yeah.
But so we open with Callie and her boyfriend on Shauna, besides all the other Shauna stuff we had seen with Misty. Callie's being a bitch to her, rightfully so. I love Callie. I'm a Callie apologist. I don't care if she's being a bitchy teen. She was killing me this episode with the like, you need to tell Dad. And then she's like, I can't believe you told him. You're so selfish. So funny. Such a good teenage girl. I also was thinking, I wonder if she's friends with the teenage girls from 1996 in real life. Like, I hope they like let her in the group and like they bond and are friends. Anyway, so she's going through it, and rightfully so. She wants Hefe to know. Hefe knows. Callie now knows that Hefe knows. And she kind of storms off. Then because Misty had mentioned, you know, all the evidence, of course, Shauna goes straight to the safe. Everything she's supposed to get rid of is in there. And she gives Hefe a call. And I'm going to let the boys take this because Hefe is killing me in this scene. So
Chicken Nuggets Department. McDonald's. Let's go. Fucking love this guy. What a fucking great start to season two for Hefe. Definitely still number two favorite character. I almost put him number one, but can't do that to Misty. But oh my God. Hefe is just so innocent. He's just crushing his job right now. Everything's going well. It seems like he made a fucking sacrifice to this demon because his job's going so well. And then, of course, Shauna has to kind of like bring him down and be like, yo, there's still some shit left that we got to do. And I just feel bad for Jeff. He just kind of is there. He's tied into all this because Shauna. And I just feel
bad. Well, and because he blackmailed the Yellow Jackets for $50,000.
yeah.
into making them kill Adam. So yeah,
nobody's innocent here. Yeah. They're all terrible people. Jeff less so than the others, but
he's just so innocent. Others just love him.
Innocent is the wrong word, but yes, I know what you mean.
He's naive.
He's
naive is good.
He's not innocent like from his crimes. He is an innocent personality.
Yeah. He was just in the fucking zone on that phone call, just like striding around like, dude, hell yes. He is the light that 2021 timeline needs. He's
oh,
just,
yeah.
He's just fantastic.
He's selling six pieces like it's his job.
It's cracking his me up. Job.
So, yeah, he's like, well, it is my job, but you know what I mean? I'm killing it. But this is the call that sparks their kind of tag team clunky journey. And I like it because they did say last season, like, no more secrets. And, you know, last season, Shauna would have went to this art, you know, whatever, the art studio by herself. And even though this is horrible for Jeff to have to see, no more secrets. So loop him in. And yeah, between lighting the tree on fire, evidence in the grill, I mean, this is like the clunkiest tag team of all time. Yeah. But let's talk about how stupid it was to go to that place in general and how the cops seemingly haven't found it, even though he's a missing person. Very confusing.
It hasn't been that much time. Remember, the jump in the 2021 timeline is only, we can assume, like a day, a week compared to... Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's already made it on the news, though, and been a couple days since then. But agreed. I mean, she's wearing a bright red. Shauna's wearing a bright red rain jacket. Like, they're not covering up at all. There's got to be a security camera. And in case, you know, there isn't, they made sure to have sex in the art studio, leave their fluids all over the place. Like, they're not covering their tracks. They're... Also, they didn't even burn the pictures. They just like scraped them out. Like, Shauna, this is strike like 3, 4, and 5 of this episode. This whole scene. Clunky is the best word to describe it, Kathleen. Well,
what if the whole trajectory of this story is for Shauna to go to jail? Then that seems like everything was written in the way that it needed to be. And then you
for sure.
Because I literally was writing in my notes. I got to this point. I was like, in parentheses, all right, chill, B-Toms. Just because I knew he was going to be ranting about something in here. So I was like, relax. Hey. No, I mean, you're not wrong. Like, this is like a completely... This, like, watch a single episode of Law and Order or something, like, and you know, like, everything they're doing is bad. But to defend the art thing, like, I don't think they were thinking about DNA as much as just get the face off, because you can't tie that to Shauna if you cross off the face.
Yeah, true that.
I agree. But then they're going to say, they're going to be able to tell if something is, like, more recent than others, sometimes, depending. I think they just use, like, a paint thinner or something to, like, you know, get the paint smeared. I thought they were going to light the place on fire. I was like, wait a second.
He had a thing of gasoline, right?
I thought it was
paint thinner.
Oh, okay. I got you.
But yes.
I don't know. It was weird. Wouldn't like just crossing out a face draw more attention to it? It's like,
Right.
We should try and figure out what face. Yeah. Just bad.
But then you can also think there was like so many photos on the wall that if they were just not there, then it's like, okay, why is the rest of the studio like decked out in art and this wall is not, you know? But it's clunky again. Just reiterating it.
Let's talk about how they upped their dirty talk game from furniture talk to like actual dirty talk, enough to make you fuck in the place of a dead guy. Like that's something else. That's frustrating. And also the painting of Shauna all fucked up is really cool.
Yeah.
Really cool.
Agreed.
Yeah, dude, the spontaneous bang did it for me. I don't care. Let's go.
Hey, it was doing it for both of them, too. I mean, hey, the spark is back in their love life. Nobody
it
can
really
deny
is.
That.
Cut my life into pieces.
Dude, that was awesome.
I knew you were going to do that. Instant ad, too. Yeah, I haven't heard that song in a while.
Oh, yeah.
Why are you so sweaty? She says when he walks up after head banging to Papa Roach.
He was just foot loosing it. He fucking was crushing it on the drums, man. I love Jeff.
Yeah.
I thought he was actually that for real quick, though. I actually thought for a brief moment in time that he was going to kill himself.
Like, Alex said that carbon monoxide.
Yeah, because he was in the car. It looked like he was going to turn it on. The garage door was closed. I was like, please don't do this, Jeff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because after the bang, they weren't happy.
And he didn't seem happy either because he was remembering all the pictures. And I was like, please don't tell me this is the end of Jeff right here.
No.
Correct. Yeah. So Jeff has a good idea to, they're burning stuff on the family grill. Let's make dogs, you know. They really are happier. Like their little banter about what did the bun say to the dog or whatever the fuck. Old fashioned dad shit is my love language. So funny. But Callie was so weirdly suspicious about the grill specifically. Like she was like, I'm going to go grill a veggie burger. And he's like, whoa, 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 whoa. Because they don't want her to go to the grill. Right. Because there's fucking evidence in there, which she finds, which is classic. But I was wondering why she's so. Specifically the grill. Why? Yeah,
I think in the moment she actually did just want to grill herself a veggie burger. And because of the way Jeff reacted, she was like, ah, the grill seems to be a hot spot for these two right now. So let me go inspect. That's how I took it.
No, that's probably right. But you said this earlier, Kathleen. I don't know, man. I'm dumping all my Callie shares. I'm out. She is going to be an enemy this season. And
yeah, she's going to let.
All right. I'm going to buy low and sell high when she's a fucking ace in the hole.
Yeah.
Give me your shares. I'm buying them.
Yeah, I'm a Callie fan, but that's because I loathe Shauna at the moment.
Loathe entirely.
Loathe.
Never, never selling my Yefe stocks. Those things. No. Yeah.
I'll be with them through the highs and lows.
Yeah, soaring. Yeah.
We're just going to continue to let Brian just incorrectly pronounce that, right?
What?
Yefe? It's not a Y.
Yefe? Yeah. I never took Spanish. I'm a German guy, but I guess Dave was a German guy too.
I thought it was just his take
Yefe.
On it.
Because it's you've been consistent. We all got a take. You've been consistent with calling him that, and I'll let it go. But
Yefe, Hefe, Jeffe.
I like it both. I'm just happy to be here.
The manager of McDonald's chicken nugget department. Is that what I should refer to him as going forward? Because I will. Yeah, I will. What else happens here?
No, that's it. Is there any actual legitimate predictions though about what Callie's gonna do with that ID?
I mean, the hilariousness of them trying to burn it and the only thing that survives is literally his face on the ID was laugh out loud ridiculous, but
it could have been the address, it could have been even just the last name, but of course it's the picture that only Callie knows Adam by.
The people want to see hot boy Adam. They want to see him. I mean, hobby. Sorry.
Thank you.
I just don't know. Honestly, I think Callie's just going to fuck something up. Like she might be by accident, spill something to a police officer. And then that's what gets Shauna arrested.
Bro, she has to.
Misty's going to kill Callie because she's a loose end.
Yeah, wow. Holy shit.
So Thaisa kills Callie.
Oh,
Luke and
Lady
Dave,
in the tree, rather.
Did you watch the trailer?
No. Oh, yeah. Like the season two trailer a while ago.
I saw whatever was at the end of the episode. I didn't actually watch the trailer, but I saw whatever was at the end of the episode.
So I'm not going to guess anything. Brian, it's probably good that you don't watch. I mean, we should probably not, but we do get a little Callie Shauna scene in the trailer. I won't go into it because we'll get it, but let's rip it on that. This is the last we got. This is good stuff. It's nice only having one episode to really talk through everything, isn't it? Yeah. Besides two. All right, so we find old Nat. I don't know if anyone saw my tweet on the Bingetown TV account. Go follow us. But Nicole Maines, who plays maybe Lottie's daughter, who gets forked in the hand, is a Supergirl. Was on Supergirl as Nia Nall. She was Dreamer, and she was the first transgender superhero on television, which is really fucking cool. And I love her. So I was so pumped to see her. And as soon as Nat gets the fork, I thought she got her in the neck. I was like, well, there she goes.
Definitely. I totally thought she was in the neck, but now that it's in the hand, definitely Lottie's daughter.
I'm all in on that theory. That'd be really cool because she's obviously getting highlighted as a higher up cultist, but she's going to be a more important cultist person here, related to Nat.
Well,
but
she's not getting a promotion after her performance dealing with this hostage. I'll tell you that much right now.
Multiple scenes, though, she's going to be somebody.
If she's important, it's because she's a Nepo baby within the cult.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's very true.
Mm-hmm. Correct. This seemed like her first important job, and it didn't go well.
Yeah, she's not getting another one.
But our girl Nat, I love her just being like, this is your first rodeo, isn't it? She's like, you gotta untie me if you want me to eat this food. And I was just so happy to see old Nat in that bed, because it's a little bit through the episode before we see her, right? Maybe even more than halfway through. So it was a breath of fresh air to see our girl. But yeah, Nat stabs her when she gets one over on her from the fork, from the food earlier. And Nat runs into the woods. And my first thing was, not the woods. Don't go in the woods. We don't like the woods.
My first thought was, hell yeah, she's familiar with the woods. She can survive out there if need be. But I agree. True. It was kind of funny seeing her run towards the woods. It's like, the trauma that she must be going through. And then I was also thinking maybe there's a pit that she falls into right there.
Oh, good God.
Dave is obsessed with the fucking pit.
Look, since we're talking pit again, I forgot to connect these dots. Further supporting Maria's pit girl, Misty was the one that finally steps up and looks down into the pit. And Mari, they have been establishing Mari is the ringleader of bullying Misty. Totally. Misty would take satisfaction in Mari being in that pit.
Me too.
I'm not going to lie, so would I.
All of us would. We're all waiting for it. That's why it's so easy for us to come to that conclusion. But if we needed more support.
If this show was a setup to build the rivalry between Misty versus Mari, I'm all in. Season 5, when they fight it out and throw her into the pit.
I honestly thought that adult Lottie, before we got the reveal that that was adult Lottie, was going to be adult Mari, because she kind of looks like Mari.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I think a lot of people look like a lot of people. That's just me.
I agree. I think that would be a good casting for adult Mari, but Mari doesn't make it, baby. We don't get adult Mari.
I know. She's pit girl.
Is pit girl. She's been eat.
Wait, do we know that for a fact? We just haven't.
No.
Okay, yeah, okay. Cool.
We're just being very confident.
So let's fucking go to this non-cowardly scene, even though I didn't like it, where they
got penis, baby.
They showed some penis.
Bring it out.
They sure did. Walk us through it, Luke.
Yeah, I mean, Nat
so
was
it's a really small old penis.
Finally, a naked character on screen that is of age to be naked.
Yeah. Like it.
You're right. Showtime is brave.
Yeah.
Well,
very courageous.
Nat had her moment where she could have went for the exit. Potentially, she still seemed like she was kind of locked in either way, but she starts to see this ritual take place, and they're wearing like deer antlers again. I know right away she knows that this is connected to the past in 1996. Mm-hmm. And then she waits around long enough to see them start to bury this naked guy, and then Lottie makes the appearance, and that's pretty much the end. It leads to her saying there's a message that Travis wants to give to you, but right there, like, hell yeah, like cult stuff going on now. I hope like magic is a thing, and this kind of lends itself to it still being a thing, but I don't know.
I have no idea. Especially they were burying that fucking guy alive too, so I have no idea.
It was like he's dead, they weren't gonna save him, like it was a sacrifice, or do you think it was like a weird ritual?
I think it's a sacrifice. Like, if we're talking forest god again, like, here's some fresh nourishment for the roots of this soil. Like, I literally, that's all I can think of when I see him burying. I don't have any other guesses on why they were doing what they were doing.
Me neither, but I'm fucking excited. I'm excited. I'm not gonna, again, I've seen the trailer, so I've seen some bits, so I won't say what I think. I'm just go episode by episode. But
do we? Like, we don't know, like, how far they had to get to these cabins, right? Like it would be totally out of the question for them to have taken Natalie kind of to an area that was around the plane crash, and like they've just now settled into a cabin space. Like, that would be far-fetched.
They're
right?
In Jersey, so they would have had to put her on a plane.
Yeah, yeah. I was just trying to be a little tinfoil hatty.
I like that. But
the woods they were in looked very similar, kind of, to the woods that they were in 1996. That's the only reason.
Well, woods look like woods. You know, you've seen one woods, you've seen them all.
Yeah.
Lottie's dad could have chartered another plane for them because he's so good at it.
Thank you, Mr. Matthews. Shout out season one. Did you guys watch this 4 times? Come on now.
I don't know where you pulled that from, but that was gold.
You don't remember Lottie?
No, I do, but I don't. I couldn't call that from the dome, you know?
I just really hope that modern day Lottie, she's got a strong back, because she's got a lot of weight to carry just in terms of modern day cult, because this is where we were always headed in season one. And now that we're about to get here, I don't have an opinion at all on her yet, I'm sure by the end of episode two, we're all going to have strong opinions about modern day Lottie, and they better be. It doesn't need to be positive or negative, but it's just in terms of a character and her writing, that's going to be like the biggest thing for me this season.
Here's my take. Old Lottie can get it.
Big time. All right. So, I mean, again, we already talked about her having something from Travis. I knew it. I called it out loud. I said, oh, she got a message. She got something from, she's like, I have a message. Pause. I go, it's from Travis. Mm-hmm. From Travis. I was like, crushed. But yeah, of course it's going to be that. So I'm very excited to see where that goes. Again, just like Luke, I don't really have an opinion. I'm just like really fucking pumped. Mm-hmm. Is Nat going to buy into this? I love that Nat was like, oh, we calling each other friends now? That's crazy. Since when?
So, not buying into it. Absolutely not.
We'll see. Any final thoughts before we get into our new segment, MVPs and buzzkill of the episode? And buzzkill of the episode.
It's great to be back, man. There's nothing I can say about it. I'm surprised that... like we basically haven't even talked about it much in the chat, which I'm happy that we saved it for this conversation. But I didn't watch it till today. So if I watched it earlier, I would have been freaking out, like needing to talk about this. I'm happy we got this out of our system, and it's going to be the most fun thing ever to be able to actually use Reddit and like different blog posts to theorize with the community rather than just doing the Rooks and Vet version. So this is going to be fun, and this is going to be, I can already just tell, like, I'm just like so excited for your next recording already.
Agreed.
All I got to say is Christina Ricci, Melanie Linsky, and Jeff's is Warren Cole, I think. Love you guys.
Yeah, love you guys.
Love you guys. If you're listening, love you guys.
All right. Who wants to start? B-Toms?
Well, I'll tell you what. My buzz kill of the episode is adult Shauna, without a doubt.
Surprise, surprise.
I'm going to go MVP adult Nat. I feel like limited screen time. She made an appearance. I like that. She stuck a fork through possibly Lottie's daughter. She was coming out swinging this episode, and she needed to.
Mm-hmm. All right. I'll go next. I'm going to go MVP young Nat, kind of similar to Brian. I just think limited screen time, but young Nat is just so down to earth and really cares for Travis. I think she's a great actress, and I love when she's on the screen. I mean, at some point she turns into adult Nat, which is like really different. But so I really like this like down to earth Nat. And then I'm going to say my LVP of the episode is Crystal, because the song was jarring. It really was. I agree with you guys so much that it's like, that is such a tell. Like they couldn't have ignored that for the first couple months. Yeah. So it's a little bit weird. It could have been anything else, really. It could have been anything else in the world besides singing, but we'll see what they do. I'm holding out hope that they're at least good deaths. Or good characters.
Yep.
That's what I'm holding out hope for. So,
okay. So I will leave your MVP for you.
It's not going to be.
It's not Hefe?
No. Because he didn't have an MVP episode.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Yep. I love him, but yeah.
Great charismatic moments. But I'm going to take my MVP and stay biased in my zone and pick Jackie, baby. She's back. She's
wow.
I don't care that she's dead, but she's back, baby. And then Buzzkill, since Kathleen took the answer in Crystal, I'll go with Callie, because dumping all those stocks, we out. She's gonna be a problem for adult Shauna.
All right.
That was gonna be my LVP. I had Crystal or Callie, so now I have to do this off the dome, so this is great. I'll do LVP. Simone was kind of justified. She was in the right.
Steve?
Am I about to give it to Hefe?
no, don't give LVP Buzz to Hefe.
Give it to Todd. She was like a demon all episode.
It's right. It's the biggest buzzkill. It's not the least valuable player. Okay. actually, then, yeah, I will give it to Simone then. If we're talking buzzkill, yeah. Because, you know, why not? And because I don't have another answer, really. MVP, we'll just give it to Steve. He'll give it. All of my answers were taken there. So he's going to be the rock.
Steve!
He's going to be the rock of the family going forward. So I have high expectations for Steve, and he's going to live through the season.
Hell yeah.
All right. Well, put it on the board. Steve is lasting the season. That's our episode. We will be back next week for episode 2 with bells on, baby. If you like what you heard, give BingeTown TV a follow on Instagram, Twitter. Go check out BingeTownTV.com. Patreon.com because we have all of our episodes archived there. We've got almost 350. We cover a ton of shows. We just finished covering The Last of Us. We just finished covering Yellow Jacket season 2. Right now we're covering Shadow and Bone and The Mandalorian, both amazing shows. Go check them out if you haven't binged them yet. I know they're relatively new in March. We've got good coverage on those. But yeah, so we are pumped to come back for Yellow Jackets. We will identify a day we're going to drop moving forward because I don't know that we know which days we're going to drop, but we'll try and keep it as steady as possible. But that's the episode. We are Bingetown TV and buzz. And thanks for listening, y'all.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network. You're listening to the Geekscape Network.